The name of the sermon today is Earn This. Earn This. You are probably all aware of the 1998 Academy Award winning movie Saving Private Ryan, directed by Steven Spielberg. The movie won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Director, Best Actor Tom Hanks, and Best Picture of the Year. The plot of the movie is rather simple. 4 brothers from Iowa are all drafted into the Army during World War II. One goes to the Pacific Theater while the other 3 are sent to Europe, and all are involved in the D-Day landings at Normandy Beach. In a 2-week period, 3 of the brothers are killed, leaving the 4th brother lost somewhere behind German lines, having parachuted in the night before the D-Day invasion. The commanding general orders 8 soldiers to go and find him and get him sent home to his mother, lest she lose all of her sons in the war. Tom Hanks plays Captain Miller, who heads up the rescue squad. In the process of saving this one private, James Ryan, 6 of these men lose their lives, including Captain Miller. As he lays dying from his wounds, he has Private Ryan come near to hear his last words. He grabs Ryan by his jacket and says to him, "Earn this. Earn this." Captain Miller was impressing upon Ryan that several men had just given their lives so that he could return to Iowa and live out a very long life with his wife, children, and grandchildren. There is an interesting statement in part of the movie by Captain Miller before finding this Private Ryan. He says, "This James Ryan had better go home and invent the longer-lasting light bulb or something like that." I was impressed with the admonition Private Ryan received. In many ways, we have been given the same admonition. Think about this. Jesus saves our lives and in the process lost his life. By his death, we were saved to the salvation process. Add to your thinking the accounts of so many who gave their lives in service to God before you were called to the salvation process. Once in that process, Christ has showered us with the same admonition Captain Miller gave to Private Ryan. The purpose of my sermon today is to admonish all of us to earn this. I'm not talking about earning this or salvation. Those are gifts of God. No one can earn salvation. That has been the teaching of the church from the beginning. Clearly, Private Ryan did absolutely nothing to be saved. It was a gift of the commanding general. What I am talking about are all the elements of the salvation process God placed you in. By the gifts of forgiveness and salvation, God has placed you into the salvation process where you strive to become like Christ. He placed you there to overcome sin and produce real fruit of the Spirit in righteous character. So understand what I am saying with these scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:17, one we've done in our, let me see, we haven't been this far yet, 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Titus 3:14, Titus 3:14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Thus the admonition to earn this. You have been called to the salvation process. So now do something with yourself. Live up to that calling. Better yet, yield to that calling. That's what we're really doing. We're yielding to the calling. Understand the definition I am using for the word earn here. I'm not talking about earning something by work or service, and not in the way you're thinking. Notice the definition I am using from the British Dictionary for the word earn. It says it's a transitive word to acquire, merit, or deserve through behavior or action. Isn't that what you're doing in the salvation process? You are learning a behavior and you're taking action. Transitive here means characterized by or involving transition from one state to another. The entire purpose of the salvation process is to take you in transition from sinning character to the character of Christ. To do this, you must engage the elements of the salvation process to that end. So earn this. We're now going to have a scripture reading. This is a collection of scriptures all speaking to our abounding in the salvation process. Let's begin with Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Note 1 Thessalonians 4:7 in support of that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, it says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness or uncleanness, but unto holiness. So how do you expect that you're going to go from uncleanliness to holiness? You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to earn it. And by earn it, you're going to have to engage all of those things that require action in the salvation process. You can't just stand there and get the kingdom. If you try to just stand there in the salvation process, you will fall away. It's guaranteed. But if you're moving forward, and by every step you move forward, you're earning the calling. God has called you. That was the free thing. He called you there. He put you there. That was a free gift. Now you must earn it by moving forward. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, making clear that salvation is a gift of God. I want to make sure you see the distinction between the gifts God has given us and the things that you must do or earn. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That'd be God telling you to earn this. I've given you a gift, now earn it. 1 Peter 2:12 says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And the emphasis, if you have the printed copy, the emphasis there, by your good works, is mine. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. It's almost like Captain Miller talking to Private Ryan. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you were called. That's another way of saying earn this. The popular commentary says, for walk worthy, that you walk worthy, etc. This he would have them do. live in a manner worthy of their privilege. You've been given a privilege by being put in the salvation process. Worthy is an adverb, not an adjective, end quote. A verb conveys an action, and an adverb modifies the verb. The action here is to walk in Christ, and to do it in a worthy manner, meaning doing it with excellence, character, and value. So that's the difference between the verb and the adverb. The verb is walk. The adverb is do it in a worthy manner. So make that walk a worthy walk, emphasizing excellence, character, and value. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 22. So Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So this is this transition we're making here. You're getting rid of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Can you not easily see here that God is telling you to earn this? Not earning salvation, you're earning in a couple of ways. You're earning a reward, so you're earning where you're going to be in the kingdom, so you're working on your reward, but you're also earning the calling. He put you in the calling, but he's not going to do anything else. He's going to help you, but he's not going to just wave a magic wand and change you. You have to work at it. You have to earn what you're doing in the salvation process. You have to earn that calling. So Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, be like Christ. That takes work. Colossians 1, 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. See, we're seeing it again. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So here we see the admonition to walk worthy again. For being fruitful in every good work, one commentary has us turn to John 15 and verse 8, which reads, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples." Turn back into the Old Testament to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live. So If you want to live and live righteously, you're going to have to earn it. He's showing you the way. He gives you all of the elements that you need. He gives you all the resources you need, but you must put your hands on them. You must take action. And that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. That was Deuteronomy 5:33. The last verse of the chapter. Verse 33 of Deuteronomy 5, that's the last verse of the chapter. For you shall walk in all the ways, the commentary references Luke 1:6, which reads, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So you have to keep the law and the ordinances, don't you? Notice what God says about Israel later. So here he's told him to walk in my ways, to earn this. If you want to earn long life in the land that you shall possess, you're going to have to follow my ways. But notice what he says about Israel later, Psalm 81. This is something we don't want ever said about us. Psalm 81 and verse 13, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." To earn this, or live up to our calling, we must walk, action verb, in all his ways. Notice another verse set about This is another verse set, so this is a set of verses about walking in the ways of the Lord. Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the long psalm. Psalm 119, we're going to begin in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, colon, they walk in his ways. Showing you the clarity there and the diversity. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. These four verses give us a whole list of living up to the admonition of earn this. Number 1, walk in the way of the Lord. 2, keep his testimonies. 3, seek him by immersing yourself in the word and in prayer and meditation. That's how you seek him. Do no iniquity. That's your overcoming sin and that's anything negative. Riotous living, any of those things. Number 5, keep his precepts. Another way of saying stay in the process until the end. And number 6, invoke diligence. How many times have I said that in my estimation, from everything I can see in the Word of God, nobody is going to make it into the kingdom of God without fervency, diligence, and zeal and perseverance. Let us take another look at our admonition for this sermon. I do not want there to be any confusion in your mind. Again, we are not talking about earning salvation, forgiveness, grace, eternal life, or the kingdom. We are talking about what you do in the salvation process, or more accurately, what you allow God to do in and through you by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. The word earn originates in the Middle or Old English word earnian, E-A-R-N-I-A-N, which is akin to the Old High German earnen. A-R-N-E-N, word, meaning to harvest. God clearly speaks to first fruits being a harvest. We are doing works that prepare us for the harvest. Luke 10 and verse 2. Luke 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great. But the laborers, notice that word, laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. From another dictionary I referenced, I found that earn is a verb which is, as we have stated, an action word. It means, number 1, to bring about or cause. To bring about or cause. We are bringing about a change in character. We are invoking good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a verse that backs this up, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Number 2. Meaning of the word earn, to gain as true return, to gain as due return. We gain a reward. We gain a reward for the action we take in the salvation process. Look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And verse 12. So this is Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. What's with him? It says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Who's he going to give a reward to? To give every man according as his work shall be. So you want a reward, you're going to have to earn it. Number 3, to get in return for one's labor or service. So the third definition from this dictionary I found for the word earn is to get in return for one's labor or service. Notice what Jesus will say to us on his return. Matthew 25 and verse 21. Surely a kingdom scripture. Any parable, kingdom scripture or kingdom parable, is talking about who's going to make it into the kingdom. So Matthew 25 and verse 21, the parable of the talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So this person that was given the talents to increase, when Jesus, in effect, comes back and, you know, debriefs these guys with the talents, is he talking about something they earned? Absolutely. Because he gives them a reward. Is he just giving that as a free gift, or is that something they earned? Clearly, it's something they learned. It's what he says in Matthew 25:21. He says, you have been faithful over a few things. You have earned this. Earned what? I make you rule over many things. He earned that by the power of God, clearly. So we can't take praise for that. We have to give praise to God for that. So you're earning it, not so much. I mean, you're taking action and you're going through procedures, but really it's Christ doing it through you. So you don't get to take any praise for this. So we're adding even more of a deeper meaning to this word earn and to these three definitions that you have here. Because it's Christ doing it in and through you. You're not doing it of your own power. You don't have the power to do this. So you are relinquishing your power and giving over to allow God to use his power via Jesus Christ in and through you. 1 Timothy 6:18, speaking to the rich in the world. And we have done this lesson. That they do good. These rich people, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What do you think is going to happen to these guys if they're not? No good works, they don't distribute, they're not willing to communicate. What do you think is going to happen to them? For this verse, let us just take an excerpt from the lesson we did on that verse. So we've already done 1 Timothy 6:18 in Bible study. And you see there, if you have this online or in the text, you see that there's a link over to this lesson. This is an excerpt from that lesson. For that they do good, like God himself, Psalm 119:68 and Acts 14:17, and Christ, Acts 10:38. Tittman translates to do or act well as the Greek for to be beneficent is a distinct word. And he gives that word, A-G-A-T-H-O-P-O-I-E-I-N. Quoted verses were Psalm 119:68, speaking of God, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Acts 14:17, speaking of God, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our heart with food and gladness. Acts 10:38, speaking of Jesus. Now, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And that's how Jesus did it. He did it because God was with him. Gave him the power. And where to do what? Follow Jesus Christ. For the phrase that they do good, that they relieve the wants of their fellow creatures according to the abundance which God has given them. The highest luxury a human can enjoy on this side of the grave. and from the Barnes Notes for That They Do Good, on the duty enjoined in this verse, see Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verses 18 through 21. We just did verse 19 last night, did we not, in Bible study? And you'll see that I have links over to the two we've done, verses 18 and 19, and the two that are coming up, 20 and 21. So this is 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 18. "Who, concerning the truth, have erred," speaking of those that are not earning this, "saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Isn't it fantastic when you have immersed yourself in a verse that when you read it later, the whole lesson comes back to you and say, yeah, this is meaningful here. This is profound. There's a profound statement in verse 19. Verse 20, "But in a great house that there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these," the dishonorable parts, "he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." We are walking on a sure foundation of God. We are departing from iniquity. We are constantly purging ourselves of sin and vain jangling. Let's go over to Titus 3. We read a little bit of Titus 3 before. I'm going to read a longer passage here. Titus 3. Beginning at verse 1, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us." So again, making the distinction between the works of righteousness that you do, because it says which we have done, "but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior," so he gave us the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, "that being justified by his grace," which is another way of saying being justified by being in the salvation process, "we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be" what? "Careful to maintain good works." Earn this. "These things are good and profitable unto men." Note verse 1. "Be ready to every good work." We look for opportunities to do good works. Verse 2. "We invoke gentleness and meekness." These are fruits of the Spirit. Verse 5, "God saves us through mercy, and he renews us by the power of the Holy Spirit." Verse 8, "First fruits are careful to maintain good works." First fruits are always looking for opportunities to invoke. That's a part of your earning this. Hebrews 4, beginning at verse 14. Hebrews 4. Beginning in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." How do you hold fast your profession? You earn it. You earn your profession. God has put you into a profession. You must earn that profession. You must live up to that profession. You must do something. You must take action. You know, we have a booklet that is called, Salvation Free, or must, is there something I must do? Absolutely, you must do something. And what you are given the admonition to do is you earning what you were called to do. So he's put you into a profession. When he put you into the salvation process, he put you into a profession. You must earn the profession, just like if you went out to work for some corporation and they put you in the at the desk or, you know, on the factory line, whatever you're doing, you can't just stand there. See, it's almost in a way, if you go to a corporation like, say, Boeing, and you're going to build airplanes for a living, you go to Boeing and you get the job. In a way, that's a gift, isn't it? By his nice graces, the human resources division of Boeing is going to give you, isn't it interesting? They gave me a job. They gave me a job. That's usually the way we couch it. He said, hey, I went job hunting and Boeing, they gave me a job. I didn't do anything. You know, I interviewed, but I haven't done a thing to really warrant me having that job, you know. Regardless of the schooling or the experience you have, it's still a gift. The guy likes you, you know, and he gives you the job. Now he's given you a profession. What do you have to do now? You have to earn it. You have to earn it. So what does God say to us? Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All the help you need to earn this comes from God. Every unit of power, every molecule of substance to make you earn this comes from God. It's not what you're doing. So by earn this, you're allowing God to earn this. How does one hold fast our profession? He, she earns it. He or she stays in his or her calling. He or she actively moves forward in the salvation process. He or she addresses every element of it. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And verse 21. So this is Hebrews 13, verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. So that's how it's done. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the glory goes to God. God makes us perfect through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, and beginning in verse 7. Actually, it's not beginning in verse 7, it's just verse 7. 1 John 1:7. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It sounds like action required on my part. Romans 5 and verse 20. Romans 5 and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace abounds when Christ binds his spirit to ours and we work. And that word work means do or earn, to change our image to his. You have to work to change your image to his. So God called you to a profession. What I got to do in this profession? Well, you got to look like my son. You got to change your image to his. You got to have the same character as my son, Jesus Christ. Okay. So how am I going to do that? Well, you're going to work at it. You're going to earn it. I'm not going to just bestow it on you. All that I am bestowing upon you is the opportunity to earn it. Hoping you can see the distinction there. The gift was the profession. You still have work to do. Romans 2. Romans 2, beginning at verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else accusing one another. Romans 4. Romans 4, and beginning in verse 4. So Romans 4:4. I'm going to read through verse 8. Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And this is talking about your own works by your own power. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. How does grace much more abound? By the people in the salvation process working a procedure, earning it. That's how grace abounds. The grace was the gift, but you have to earn it to make it abound. How are you going to move forward? But by earning it. You have to allow God to lead you forward, give you the power to move forward. We can't even keep the Ten Commandments without God's Holy Spirit. Nobody on this planet can keep the law of God unless by the power of God. James 2, 8 through 10. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all. So you want to earn the respect of God as it relates to you keeping the commandments? You got to keep the whole law. You're going to have to earn that respect. It says, because he tells you there in verse 9, you're not looking for respect of persons. You're looking for the respect of God. Respect meaning that he's acknowledging that you're keeping the law and the commandments. For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Note that phrase in verse 8, you do well. You do well. The word do having the meaning of earn. James 2, beginning in verse 14. James 2, beginning in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? By the way, how do you get profit? How do you get profit in this world? You earn it. Says, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So how are you going to get to a perfect faith? You're going to have to earn it, aren't you? Do you see that? Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified. You want justification? You're going to have to earn it. And not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So how do we keep faith alive? We earn it by doing it. Good examples of earning it. So that whole scripture set there is good examples of earning it. Philippians 3 and verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. So, let's look at it this way if you want to use the racing analogy. And some of you probably saw the video before services of the runner running the race, and he gets passed up in the race. Now, if you want to win the race, you're going to have to do something. It was the gift of the games that allowed him to be in the race. They accepted him to be in the race. You can be in the race, but now if you want to win the race, you're going to have to do something. I can get you in the race. That's my gift to you. I can let you be in the race. Looks like you can run, or I'll let you be in the race. But you're going to have to earn it. You want to win, you're going to have to earn it. You want the reward. You want a reward from God, you're going to have to earn it. So what does it say there in Philippians 3:14? It says, I press towards the mark for the prize of what? The high calling. Notice there it doesn't say salvation, forgiveness, eternal life. It says, I press. So I'm doing something here. I'm pressing towards the mark for the high prize, for the prize of the high calling. And it is through that calling that you will eventually get all those other gifts, eternal life, kingdom of God, you know, perfection. But you have to earn the calling after you were put in. I want to finish here by going back to the movie Saving Private Ryan. Some of you probably have seen this. I've seen it a number of times. At the end of the movie, we see a now aged James Ryan traveling to the American cemetery at Normandy. First time he's visiting there. He's now an old man. Looks to be about 70 years old, I would think. So he travels to the American cemetery at Normandy, France, along with his wife, his children, and his grandchildren. They're all there with him. He comes to the gravestone of Captain Miller. His eyes fill with tears as he thinks back to that moment when Captain Miller utters that admonition to earn this. He turns to his wife weeping and asks, am I a good man? Won't this be the question in our mind as we see Christ returning in the air?